This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT-Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT-Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT-Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT-Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT-Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Once again, it's time to get together with our nutritionist in residence. She's Layla Mudin, to answer your questions. Your questions come to radioprogram@AOL.com. Jot down that address for your most important Intelligent Medicine questions. We field them every week on our weekly Q&A with Layla. And so it's vacation time for many. You wrote something about how people can relax and sort of de-stress during vacation time. I've got an article about work withdrawal syndrome. And because literally some people experience withdrawal, that they're just so hooked on working that they just don't know how to relax. And I have to say, you know, after a long medical career and very arduous training, it's almost like a weak muscle. I have to kind of cultivate that relaxation muscle and just like, not want to occupy myself with lots and lots of work tasks and spend time with friends and family and relax and recreate. That's something that we all need to do more of.
Yes, because it then allows us to be more productive, more mentally alert, functioning much more efficiently and all that. We need to take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And rest is part of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, there's a point where there's a point of diminishing returns when I just work, and then I just kind of go, my brain dead, just can't, I can't generate any more productivity. And then I have to do what I call a brain rinse, which is like watch, something really silly on TV. Or for me, sports is a great brain rinse because, there's nothing like a 4.5 hour Yankee game. It's completely empty your brain.
That's extra innings.
Plus, you can actually get a lot of little chores done around the house, kind of glance at the score from time to time and, walk away from the TV and, prepare a meal, wash some dishes, that kind of thing. So anyway, what's in the news this week that attracts our attention before we get to questions?
You've got something here about Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook is cracking down. They get some big problems there, Facebook, Google, because on the one hand, they don't want to indiscriminately allow a lot of crazy stuff that goes viral. On the other hand, where do you draw the line? And who are making the decisions? Because literally, they've got to make tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of decisions every day. And there's some kind of boiler room of overworked folks who flag things of dubious veracity. And they've even done some features on the people who work for Facebook and Google, and that there's a tremendous rate of burnout for these people because they are required to screen out hateful messages, pornographic messages, offensive images, blah, blah, blah. But, where do you draw the line?
Yeah, that's true.
And when it comes to health claims, I have sort of mixed feelings about that because there's a lot of crap out there, claims.
Yeah, who decides what is crap and what is the truth?
Yeah.
And are these scientists at Facebook making these decisions about the health claims? I doubt it.
Well, so for example, one of the weirdest examples is we posted an article a while back entitled, "It's Not Your Fault, You're Fat." And I can't even claim credit for that title, because it's actually the title of a book written many years ago. And in it, and I think it was a very good article, because we talked about some of the factors that impede weight loss, things that people don't think about, such as environmental chemicals, for example, that slow yes. the mitochondria, that prevent optimal metabolism from occurring. And we talked about that in a very reasonable way. But when we posted that article, you know, I checked on it, and we had like four people who had clicked on it. And I was like, really weird. Like, usually I put up an article like that, and we get hundreds of clicks. And what we realized is that we were sort of being shadow banned on that article. And we asked for an explanation. We got no explanation. And
Big Brother doesn't need to provide an explanation.
Exactly. It's like, you know, we're not serving you here at this establishment, and we're not telling you why. Was it like, do I need a sport coat? Should I have worn a tie? Do you not like my ethnicity? are you telling me that I need to take a shower? I mean, you don't know why you're being refused service. So what we suspect is that this was an effort to reduce the stigma of fat shaming, because the word fat may have come up in their algorithm. And then it was flagged, and then they said, no, this is unacceptable because it's offensive to the fat community. But, you know, we could have used the word, you know, we rejiggered the headline and we republished it, and it was like, fine. You know, we didn't use the word fat. So
fat is also an essential macronutrient. What are they
exactly
going to do about that?
Well, you know, we wonder, you know, where's this going to go? Because, I mean, they are definitely throttling down on vaccine messages. Anybody who pushes back against, the standard program of vaccination is going to get flagged. And maybe they can get deplatformed, as happened with something called Green Med Info. And I think Mercola has had problems too. And so you have an alternative. You yourself use something called DuckDuckGoGo or something like that?
Yeah, DuckDuckGo is the search engine I've been using for the past year.
Right.
I've really diminished my use of Google.
Uh-huh.
Together, and you know I'm not a Facebooker.
Right.
So, you know, I'm already...
Your objection to Facebook is that you just don't want to share a lot of personal information and get... a lot of data accumulating about your preferences, and so that they can kind of scope you out.
Exactly. And now, with all this going on, with the Big Brother-ing of all of us, no, I want nothing to do with them.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the train has left the station, because I'm a quote, public personage, and I do a lot on Facebook. I utilize Facebook, and it's sort of a devil's bargain, because on the one hand, it offers me a platform, an outreach to people who are interested in this program, Intelligent Medicine. But it also, the compromise is that I share a lot of crucial information, and they have me profiled down to, you know, what pair of underwear I want. You know, what's kind of funny sometimes is, you know, if I let somebody borrow my computer and it's like just to look something up, like a female, all of a sudden I'll start getting like lingerie ads.
You know,
it's like, I shouldn't have let you use my computer. It's like, do I really want, advertisements for women's bathing suits? You know, that's not the way I roll, but you know, it happens. The weirdness is sometimes it seems to me, and this may be facilitated by Alexa or by Siri, is if you even talk about vacation plans, it's like, hey, you know, our friends are inviting us to Spain. They have a timeshare over there. Should we go? And all of a sudden, you know, you look at your computer and you see ads for Spain on your computer.
Yes.
So are they listening or what's going on?
And you know what else I notice about my telephone is I say whatever, and Google will respond and so forth. It's like, our phones are listening to us.
Yeah.
And forget about the other devices. I don't think I want a smart home.
Yeah.
Like the refrigerator that lets us know that, oh, you're low on eggs or you're low on salad.
It'll send you a prompt to it. Or here, order some eggs. You know, we'll have them delivered to your doorstep by drone, you know.
And I don't want to talk to Alexa. You know, I don't want to talk to, that's what it's really become.
So, I feel sorry for people named Alexa. That's rough.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Goodness.
All right. So, the way I come down on this is I think it's scary.
Yes.
I realize their conundrum. They have to be, quote, responsible. For example, they ran an ad on my program and by mistake. And it was an ad for, those powdered fruits and veggies, which I really don't believe in. And I think, those testimonials are really a scam. And I think it's a disservice to the public to suggest, you don't have to eat regular fruits and vegetables. You can just, take 6 capsules a day of fruits and veggies, and they're dehydrated and flash frozen. It's going to deliver all the benefits. And by the way, if you've had a stroke or if you suffer from fibromyalgia or if you are, a 90-year-old truck driver, you're going to feel fantastic when you take – it's like, no, don't put those – and so they made a mistake and they put it on my show. And I said – I was just furious. I said, look, I'm not going to seemingly condone the use of those products. So there's some things out there that I just think are scammy kinds of things.
Right.
Things that – like natural growth hormone enhancers. Well, who even knows that administering real growth hormone is good for you? And then there are these things that purport by taking some homeopathic formula to increase your growth hormone. I mean, that's terrible. I mean, I've even seen those on TV.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's move on to questions. And hopefully we won't be deplatformed for just talking about this.
Golly, yes.
It's like, should we, maybe we shouldn't even talk about it. It's like,
you're going to be censored. Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have an email from Sarah. Sarah writes, "Dear Dr. Hoffman, I have an abundant crop of Equisetum arvens, which is horsetail, growing in my gardens. It's very difficult to eradicate this weed, and I've been reading up on it in an effort to combat it. It contains silica and some calcium. Do you know of any research being done on this ancient plant, and could it be helpful for osteoporosis, particularly for remineralizing bones? Thank you very much." Well, Sarah, I did look up the horsetail growing in your gardens. Not sure. First of all, if you want to take horsetail, don't take it out of your garden. You want to get a supplement, a supplement that's been manufactured properly and all of that, because the plant contains enzymes that destroy thiamine. That's vitamin B1.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It also has diuretic effects, so you want to be careful. And it's not to be taken with any cardiac or renal compromise or dysfunction. If you have a heart condition, if you've got kidney disease, horsetail is not something to take, not without supervision, at least.
Right. However, there are formulas that contain osteoporosis formulas that contain some silica that's derived from organic horsetail. And I guess that's probably okay.
Right. I mean, that silica's been extracted properly where you're not getting the part of the plant that contains enzymes that destroy B1 or do anything else or have the diuretic effects.
Yeah, I'm looking at a site here. It's called organicfacts.net. And I have to say it's a little bit overambitious in terms of touting the benefits of horsetail. Horsetail has many amazing health benefits. Let us discuss them in detail below. It boosts immunity, inflammation relief, strengthens bones. Okay, I believe certainly silicon is a component in bone. So you might want to get some. It says horsetail's antioxidant effects have been linked to higher cognitive abilities in laboratory studies. But it's not an antioxidant. It's a mineral. I mean, it's not even an antioxidant mineral, in my opinion. I don't know. It may protect you from cognitive disorders like Alzheimer's disease and dementia as you age. I don't know. If you wanted silicon, you can eat some sand. No, that's not very bioavailable, but, that silicon, by the way, is the most abundant mineral on the planet because it's in all rock virtually, and sand, all the sand on the beaches is mostly silicon. It's just that that's not bioavailable. You can eat it, pound sand, they say. You can pound sand for as long as you want. It's not going to help your bone mineral density. So I guess the idea is that silicon in the form present in plants is more bioavailable, more accessible, right?
Yeah, I would say. And you always want to look for a good formulation. That's also very important. It's like, you know, people who might go foraging for mushrooms, you want to be careful.
Yep.
You want to check with an expert
right.
before you decide to eat that mushroom, because you could die
yep.
if it's the wrong one. Yeah. Yeah. So that's yep. important.
Cool.
Okay. So Sarah, thank you for that. Don't take the horsetail from your yard and start making tea or do anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and we've got another question regarding osteoporosis. This comes from, let's see here. This comes from Alan. Dear Layla, Dr. Ron, I'm an avid listener for many years. I'm a family physician. I've learned so much from you and Dr. Gaby.
That is so great, because I mean, we really like the idea that family physicians, who are really the gatekeepers to our medical system, take an interest in integrative approaches, because that's the place in the healthcare delivery system where these approaches can be very effective. So just delighted to hear that.
Yeah.
If that were our only listener, the whole thing would be worthwhile. You know, just one healthcare professional could amplify this information through the hundreds or thousands of patients they treat.
Yes. Yes. So important. So Alan says, I treat patients, many of whom are minorities. Most cannot afford life's essentials, let alone supplements. So I try to educate them about diet and lifestyle. Terrific.
Yep.
And that's
about 60% of the game. We emphasize supplements here, and people swallow handfuls of them. But 60, 70, 80% of the benefits are from lifestyle modification. And that doesn't usually cost a lot. Yeah, fruits and vegetables and fresh stuff is more expensive, but you can do a lot with a little.
Yeah. Yeah. So Alan says, I have a patient who is osteoporotic on one bone.
Mm-hmm.
She could afford strontium, but not the other higher priced supplements.
Okay.
And I got in contact with Dr. Alan Gaby, and basically he's found no human studies to support strontium citrate.
Yeah. So let me speak to that. And there may be some more that you have to read, but first of all, if you have one site where there's a decline in bone density, say your left hip is way out of sync with your right hip, everything's fine, your spine is fine, you know, the other side is fine, it suggests there's something unique about that area, an injury or a vascular problem or an inflammatory problem. And that's not ordinary osteoporosis. That's some sort of pathological local process, as opposed to a systemic disorder where bone is diminished everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
So I would look for a cause there and, you know, see if there's something going on there. So the other thing I would say to Dr. Gaby, who I have enormous respect for, and I've learned an enormous amount from him, you know, especially in the beginning of my career, he was a real mentor to me, and, met him quite a lot at conferences, heard him lecture, devoured his, in the day, we had cassette tapes that we listened to of his conferences, especially with Jonathan Wright.
Yeah.
And his textbook of nutrition is a real tremendous resource. I mean, both of us have one of those.
Yeah.
And
back and forth. I've borrowed that book from you many times over to look up.
Yeah, it's a doorstop. It's a huge lifelong,
huge tome,
40-year effort by him to compile well-referenced nutrition studies. But I will say this, he seems to have a certain, you know, kind of a show-me attitude about strontium.
Yeah.
And strontium, he's technically correct, is that the form of strontium that's used in the United States, strontium citrate or strontium carbonate, has not been tested as extensively as the medication strontium ranelate, which is used in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect that the use of this ranelate is something that's not essential to the benefits and or safety of strontium. Strontium is a mineral. And just as we use, you know, chromium in various forms, you know, chromium picolinate, chromium, you know, all the different forms, or selenium, you know, mostly it's just a matter of bioavailability. And I've been using strontium for now, probably about 15 years, and it's been very beneficial for our patients. It's increased their bone density, and some would argue, okay, yeah, it increases bone density, but does it reduce fractures? The studies from Europe, where it's used quite a lot as a medication, as a prescription, show that not only does it increase bone density in terms of the imaging, but it actually reduces the incidence of both spinal fractures and hip fractures. Yeah. So, I think it's perfectly acceptable to use it. I just wonder, though, if this just one area, one bone. Yeah. And I don't know I'd have to know the particulars of that case. Mm. But that suggests that there's something funny going on in the tissue surrounding that bone or the circulation of that bone.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very interesting. I've never heard of osteoporosis being limited to one bone like that. I've never,
There is a condition which is called osteonecrosis, which occurs and it can result in a hip fracture because the bone literally dies. And that occurs sometimes in sickle cell disease. It can occur after a fracture where there's injury. Yes. It can occur due to usually some kind of inflammatory circulatory problem right there.
Yeah.
That literally cause necrosis means death, so osteonecrosis, death of the bone. When I broke my hip and I was lying there the first few hours while I was in the emergency room, I said to myself, gee, I hope that it's not in a place where eventually I will develop osteonecrosis of the hip, because a hip fracture, even one that doesn't require immediate hip replacement, sometimes later the bone dies. And then when the bone dies, you need a subsequent hip. Fortunately not. That's been the case. My bone is fine.
Yeah. My mother had a hip fracture several years ago and was looked at repeatedly after the surgery for necrosis. And thank God everything is fine. But, she had a lot of follow-up after that.
Yeah. So she didn't get a hip replacement. She just had
She had it pinned back together and everything is good. Knock wood. That was several years ago. Yeah.
And she had it at a more advanced age than I did. I think I was like 53 when that happened,
He was in her mid-70s. Yeah.
Yeah. So, congratulate her on her recuperative abilities. Maybe it's because her daughter is a medical nutritionist. How about that?
Yeah. Could be.
Yeah.
So,
I'm sure you tanked her up on stuff to help her heal.
Oh, I did. And she was very good about it. And all of that. So she's well and approaching 83 this September.
Oh,
so
okay. Good story.
It's good. Yeah. So Alan Gaby actually says that he's reluctant to use strontium, but might consider it for intermittent treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know when we put somebody on strontium, we don't have them take it forever and ever and ever.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We might take, 2, 4, 6 years. Usually we're talking about intervals of 2 because people get bone densities every couple of years. So when people start to improve their bone density, which happens quite frequently with strontium, and they move into the moderate osteopenia range, we'll tell them to lay off. Now, there will be some bone loss after that, but hopefully not too drastic. We've had to restart some people on strontium after, stopping. But then we use it intermittently, and maybe that's more prudent.
Yeah.
Because, it's natural, but it's unnatural to give such high levels of strontium. Where they were using strontium really in a medical sense, in Europe it's a drug, here it's available over the counter, very high doses are, in a sense, unnatural. So, it's not like sunlight, sleep, and exercise and, eating high fiber diet. It's an extraordinary intervention.
It is. It is. And the over-counter dose is generally about 600 milligrams. But, there are other very important
cofactors.
Nutrients for bone health. Magnesium is often overlooked. Vitamin D is often overlooked. The proper amounts of potassium, K2, making sure that your diet isn't over acidic, any of those things as well. Checking DHEA sulfate levels is often helpful.
Or testosterone in men. Yep, all those. Yep. All right. We're running a little short on time for part one. So give us a preview of what we'll talk about in part two.
My 19-year-old granddaughter came down with kidney stones, kidney infection, and cystitis. Help!
Would you say 19 years old?
19 years old.
Oh, 19. Okay. So not an infant. I thought 19 months. No, that's essentially an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's tackle that question when we return. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman today with Layla Mudin. She's our nutritionist in residence, and we're answering your questions. Radio program at AOL.com, the destination for questions. We'll be right back with part two.